and it has not appeared as yet what we shall be. This text speaks of things that are real right now. Now, we, now you are the child of God. Now we are the children of God. That's true right now. But also in this verse, there's promise of greater things yet to come, of abiding things yet to come. There are things yet to appear. So now we are the children of God, but all that we shall be and all that will take place, that's yet to come. That's yet to appear. So there's a destination to travel to, and that destination abides. That destination won't pass away. Okay, now consider this text from James, chapter 4. You do not know what your life will be like tomorrow. You are just a vapor that appears for a little while and then vanishes away. This also speaks of things that are real right now, though admittedly not too weighty, but nevertheless they're true right now. Right now you are just a vapor. If that's not enough for you, you're a vapor that doesn't know very much. You don't even know what tomorrow holds. And not only are you a vapor that doesn't know very much, you're not going anywhere. You're not building up to anything. There's nothing yet to appear. Soon, in fact, it will just dissipate. Soon it will just vanish. So I love those two verses together. And ask yourself, what for the living of your own life lies connected to that verse in 1 John? What, because you're a child of God and there are things yet to appear, but you shall be, things coming, things that won't pass away. What in the living of your own life connects to that? But then also, what in the living of your own life connects to that verse in James? Connects to the fact that you're a not very smart vapor that's soon going to vanish away. The text in John reminds us that all who know the Lord, for them the living of life is linear. You are something now, but you have places to go. There is more yet to come. You must march to Zion, right? You must seek the city which abides. There's a race set before you for you to run. And you must press on towards the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. There is an unfading crown of glory. There's a crown of righteousness for which you must strive. There's an imperishable wreath that can be gained. As part of the body of Christ, the body is building itself up in love until we all attain to the full measure, the stature, the measure of Christ. So your life path, if you know the Lord, is to be like the dawn. It's to shine brighter and brighter until the full day appears. And you're a person who hopes to attain to the resurrection of the dead and then to reign with Christ forever. So that's all of that type of language is linear. You're here now and you have a place to go, press towards it. So the part of the living of life, it's very linear. It moves towards a permanent destination. And so it's appropriate to say to you, forgetting what lies behind, press on towards the goal. Press on towards the prize. If following Christ were not linear, if we only hoped in Him in this life, but it didn't go anywhere after that, then we are to be pitied. But following Christ is going somewhere. The kingdom is coming. And so there's part of the living of our life that has to be very linear as we press towards that prize and await the coming of that kingdom. But, of course, not everything that you're involved in while living your life is linear. There are a lot of things that are in the vapor category of James. Things that are here for a little while and then vanish away. Stephen eats and is satisfied, but within 3 hours, the satisfaction completely vanishes. It's just a vapor, that satisfaction. Yesterday, Joy and Kirk launched on a life journey that will last until death do us part, as they said to each other in their vows. Now, of course, we do hope that before death parts them and brings their journey to a close, that we're hoping that Joy and Kirk perhaps get to do what Jan and I did yesterday and what Kirk's parents did yesterday. We hope that they get to watch their own kids launch on a journey like their own. So we can hope for that. In fact, it would be nice if it goes on from generation to generation. But the journey of each generation soon vanishes. Joy and Kirk, perhaps you saw it if you were there at their reception, had a little display called Our Heritage. At that display, they had pictures of their parents at their weddings. So Jan and I and Kirk's parents at our weddings. And then next step up, pictures of grandparents at their weddings. And then after that, just a smattering, you know, of great-grandparents. But all of the great-grandparents are gone. And some of the grandparents are already missing. And I'm just one tier back. But I have people telling me that I don't look as young as I used to. So it tells you what direction I'm going at least, right? You know, and Joy and Kirk, they had their picture in the front row yesterday. But of course, now they will work on becoming one of the background pictures. A couple generations from now, they'll be part of that group too. That, who are those people? If you couldn't Google them, you wouldn't have any idea who they were. And it's not just eating and it's not just marriage that's like that. All of earthly life is like that. The writer of Ecclesiastes reminds us there is nothing new under the sun. Everything has been seen before, and all the current iterations of what you've seen are going to soon pass away. Now, when you step back from all that, you realize that the courses of earth are not linear, they are circular. All the rivers run to the sea, but the sea is not full. And where the rivers run, there they will run again. The Mississippi's been dumping into the Gulf of Mexico for I don't know how many hundreds of years, and the Gulf of Mexico still isn't full. And the Mississippi River is still dumping it into there. All a man's labor is for his mouth, and yet his appetite is not curbed. And, you know, and all of it produces nothing. There's no net gain. That's why Ecclesiastes says under the sun it's vanity of vanities. It starts at dust, it does the loop, and then what happens? It returns to dust, right? So it just does this loop, and you start as dust and you end as dust, and you just get to do one lap in between. Years ago, we were talking about some of the things that Ecclesiastes reveals in the scripture. Stephen Tracy took a trip, I think it was overseas to Europe or something. And so I get a postcard in the mail. They visited some crypt, you know, some tomb full of a bunch of skeletons, a bunch of bones, human remains. And there's an inscription there that has become kind of famous and been duplicated in various forms. But the postcard was the inscription. So you have this room full of all these bones. And the inscription says, as you are now, so we once were. Next line, as we are now, so you will be. That's a great Ecclesiastes type of verse, isn't it? You know, recognizing we were where you were once. So, you know, we did our lap too. But where we are now, that's what awaits you too. You're going to be like us. So in the living of life, if you're a follower of Christ, there's part of living that is this great upward track, this great upward journey that shines brighter and brighter. It's going somewhere. But also in the living of life, if you're part of earth, which all of us are, you're part of this great circular tourney. And you have to just run your lap. When you just circle back around to where you started. We're part of, if you've seen the movie of the Great Circle of Life, where the grass grows and the antelope eat the grass and the lions eat the antelope, and then the lions die and turn into grass, which is eaten by the antelope. It's that great circle. And all of us are part of this great circular turning of life. To live well, you need to be skilled at both. Skilled at the linear thing and skilled at the circular thing. I think to be skilled includes not trying to turn the linear thing into something circular. That happens. Thinking all this stuff of following the Lord is just a circular thing. It also includes not trying to turn the circular into something that's linear, like it's to pretend like it's really going somewhere because it's not. So that's part of the skill. And of course, we spend most of our effort, as the scripture itself does, at learning to do the linear. We spend most of our effort learning how do we run the race set before us? How do we press on towards the prize? How do we seek the kingdom? In other words, we spend most of our effort concerned about and thinking about becoming, growing as the children of God. But I want you to reflect just for a moment on being skilled at the circular part of life. Being good at being a vapor. Being good at being a vapor that doesn't know very much. Not even know what tomorrow holds. What does it mean to be skilled at being a vapor? Think about that. I think part of what it means to be skilled at doing circular courses is being able to move with the times. Of course, to move with the times is to go where all times go. So you need to know that. If you're a person who moves with the times, you're going to go where times go. And all times come to an end. So you have to know that all your moving is temporary, in the truest sense of the word. All the times will soon vanish. They'll soon disappear. But also, to move with the times, it's good to recognize that times change. And I want to just recall for a moment a passage I'm sure you will recognize. If you didn't even know it was there, you'll recognize parts of it for sure. A famous passage from Ecclesiastes reminds us that life is made up of times, made up of different times. So this is out of Ecclesiastes 3. There is an appointed by God, appointed time for everything. And there is a time for every event under heaven. A time to give birth and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to uproot what is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to tear down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. It only comes once in life. I did mine yesterday. A time to throw stones and a time to gather stones. A time to embrace and a time to shun embracing. A time to search and a time to give up as lost. A time to keep, a time to throw away. A time to tear apart and a time to sew together. A time to be silent and a time to speak. A time to love and a time to hate. A time for war and a time for peace. He has made everything appropriate in its time. So 28 times are listed there. All of them appointed times. This isn't a menu from which you get to order. All of these times are appointed. They are ordained by God. And all of them are appropriate. Some translations say beautiful. At some time. So every one of them is appropriate at some time or other. Many of them are opposite of each other, as I'm sure you noticed. There's the front stretch of the lap where you're running away from the barn, and then there's the back stretch where you're running back to the barn and undoing, kind of reversing what happened. So some of the opposites, you run one way, you laugh, and you run the other way, you cry. You end up kind of right back where you started with. So many of them are opposites. I think it's wise to recognize the times. the time that you're in, to recognize when times change. It's good then also then to welcome whatever the appointed time is. And it's good to enter into whatever the time is, to enjoy it. And so to do that with each time, and God appoints them all, so to recognize it, to welcome it, to enter into it and enjoy it, to do that with every time that God appoints. Knowing, of course, that none of the times lasts forever. And also knowing that whatever is the appropriate time right now, it's very likely that there will be another appointed time that's almost the very opposite of that of what you're in right now. It may be a time right now to plant. There will come another time when it's good to uproot what is planted. It may be a time for you right now to shun embracing. But there will come another time when it's good for you to recognize and welcome and enter into the time now to embrace. Of course, some of the times are welcome. Some of them are not so welcome. For some of us here in the room, it's time to be young. For some of us, the time to be young is past. But when we look back at that time, some of us really welcome that time when we were young and say, oh, that was the best. Others are glad the time to be young is past. That was difficult. I'm glad I'm done with that part. To live well means very much to learn to handle the times with grace. You know, to learn to recognize the times. Perhaps you've struggled at times, or perhaps you've watched others. There's something sad about when somebody is missing that the time that they're in right now. Maybe because they want to be in a past time, or maybe because they're looking forward to some other future time, or maybe because they're just clueless about what's appropriate to the time. But there's something sad about you're missing the time that you're in right now. To recognize it and to handle it with grace is a good thing. And to then fully enter in and walk in, you know, the times with grace and enjoyment, that's part of the skill of living well. And in life there are indeed many times. There's time to be a child, time to be a parent, time to be a student, time to be a teacher, time to be healthy, time to be unhealthy, time to be secure, time to be at sea, time to be settled, time to wander, time to be on the receiving end of good news, time to be on the receiving end of bad news. It might be your time right now to dazzle in the swimsuit or impress on the athletic field. It might be a good time for you to learn knitting or to be the parent of a talented athlete. There's all kinds of times, and they change. So those circular courses, don't try to straighten them out. You can't. No one can straighten out what God has bent. But learn to run the lap, you know, with grace, with enjoyment. So together, we are part of this great building project. The body of Christ being built into a house for God Himself to dwell in. We're part of the bride making herself ready to one day be presented without spot and wrinkle, that she might reign with Him forever and ever. We're part of that project. We're part of this great linear happening. Of the increase of His kingdom, there will be no end. Ever. His kingdom will increase. But even as we're part of that great linear building project, each of us is doing the circular courses of earth. We're experiencing that God has made a time for everything. And we experience the coming and going of all the different times that He appoints. We build, and then we tear down what was built. You know, we plant, and then we uproot what is planted. Sometimes we laugh, you know, sometimes we weep. We know peace, at other times we know war. We do young, but we don't stay there. We do middle-aged, but we don't stay there. We do old age, but we don't stay there. All times are vapor. Soon they vanish. So, what's the best way to live life? My simple reflection for us today is to be good at both lines and circles. That's the best way to live. Be good at the linear thing. If you have nothing linear in your life, then you are literally just going in circles. But if you have no circles in your life, then the times for you have come to an end. And you've stepped out of all of the happenings of Earth and all of the courses of Earth. So that hasn't happened to any of us yet. So we have both lines and circles. Beloved, now you are the children of God. It has not yet appeared. All that's coming for you, all that you will enter into, all that you will be part of, things that will last forever. And now you are just a vapor. It's here for a little while and then vanishes. Nothing more coming, nothing yet to appear, just going to vanish, just going to dissipate. And you don't know much. You don't even know what tomorrow holds. Because the times are appointed by heaven. And to learn to run the lap, you know, start as dust, run your lap and finish as dust, it's part of what God has given us to be able to do on earth. And so learn to do the circles well as well. So some of the happenings in my own life made me, you know, think of those things and encourage you. You know, what corresponds in your life to the fact that you're a child of God? And you're part of this great linear happening. Something growing brighter and brighter, greater and greater, until the fullness of it comes and remains forever. And what part of your life is, you know, you realize you're doing the circular courses of Earth. And be careful that you're not trying to hang on to, you know, that really neat time that has now passed. Or missing the time that you're in because you're so much looking forward to a time yet to come or that you hope comes. Or because you're trying to order off the list. Say, I want embracing, laughing, merriment, you know, and riches. And, you know, and I don't want the weeping time. I don't want the, you know, the shun embracing time. I don't want the difficult time. I don't want the poor time. And so when that time is appointed for you, you struggle. So take the times as the Lord sends them to you and to us. So those are just kind of reflections. Remember the Lord's faithfulness to you with respect to the lines of your life, the linear things, that because He's been faithful to you, He's made you part of something that won't fail, that won't pass away. He's given you everlasting life. If He weren't faithful, that wouldn't have happened. So think of His faithfulness to you, that now you are the child of God. But also think of His faithfulness to you, that He's been with you in times past. He's with you in the times that you're in the midst of right now. Be with you with all the times that He's appointed yet to come. He will be faithful in all of those times. And so maybe you want to think of the circles. Maybe you want to think of the lines. Maybe you can think of both. But say, you know, Lord, You've been faithful to me in all of those things. And I want to walk well in all of them. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank You for Your word. Father, we thank You for verses that remind us that by Your grace, by Your faithfulness, we're Your children. Father, and that the one who is least in Your kingdom, Father, is greater, Father, than the greatest man, the greatest woman, the greatest descendant of the race of Adam. Father, how we thank You that You've made us part of a new race, a race that has a destination to whether it be a house for you to live in your presence forever, to reign with your Son. Father, we thank you that we are your children and that there are things yet to appear. And Father, we thank you that you've been faithful to us in all the times of our life. We think of times past. Father, and you were there and you cared for us and you watched over us and provided all that we needed. Father, when the summers came and the winters came and the seed time and the harvest, Father, you've been faithful in all the times. Father, as the years fly swiftly by, and the sun rises and sunsets, you've been faithful. So, Father, we thank you for being with us in the past and for all the happenings that we're in the midst of right now, the times. Thank you for being faithful to us. And the times yet to come, Father, we would leave them in your hand and welcome them as they come to us and walk well in them. So, Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us, and may our song be sweet in your ear as we give you praise. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.